Ça y est, vous m'entendez? You understand? You hear me? Very clear. Today is the 5th. Today is the Thursday, the 19th of January 2012. We are in Upper Hamlet in the meditation hall of Stillwater. In Plum Village, we have the exercise of breathing in. I feel I'm alive. Breathing out, I smile to life in me and around me. And that exercise is in order to help us to be in touch with life. We really are present to life. And in principle, when we breathe in, we bring our mind to our body and we feel that we are really alive. Life is still running in me and around me. And for me, that practice produces quite a lot of joy. And we have the vision that we have to live in such a way that to be worth of living. Don't lose ourselves. Don't waste that life. It's running in our body and running around me so wonderfully beautiful. And in principle, we must have, when we have that awareness, and then we see that joy. My heart is still beating. The blood is running in my vein. My brain is sharp. I can see things clear. But sometime in that life, there is a number of worries, difficulties, and we don't want to. And we worry, and then the biggest worry is one day we have to die. But we treasure our wonderful moment, but behind that there is some worries. Maybe one day we have to go to the place where our body will stop to function, that we cannot breathe, will not beat, and we cannot think, and we will be, our body will be disintegrated. We cannot be present. And even we are aware that we are alive, even that is true, but still behind that there is a hidden fear, a hidden worries. And that joy is not total, is not completed. And we know that if there is life, it must have death. So death is not happened yet, but it will happen. And because of that, the Buddha teach us to look deeper in order to see clearly what means death. And when the Buddha said that when we look deep into our death, and then it brings us a lot of benefit. Sometimes we are afraid of death. We don't feel at ease when we think of at our death, but then we push them away. We push it away. No. I don't want to think of that day where I have to die. deep into our soul consciousness, we know that we will die one day. And then we have many, many exercises to look deep into our death. And the exercise the most frequently used is, I am of the nature to die. I cannot escape death. And that exercise, deep inside of our soul consciousness, we have that fear of death. Instead of escape of thinking, we invite them out and we look clearly, clearly on the surface of our awareness, and we look deep into the face of our death. I am of the nature to die. I cannot escape dying. So you confront the death. You confront the fear of death. And you are afraid that when you die, you will be nothing. You will be nothing. And from the realm of existence, you will become, you will enter in the realms of non-existence. You will be nothing. And so that is that fear. Is clearly or deep inside of us, we better bring them out and look clearly, confront them. There is a one poet in Vietnam who said that I walk on the desert and there is a wolf look at me, but I look deep into the wolf, and the wolf, I'm ready to be tear and kill me. I walk in the desert, and then one wolf suddenly appear, and then I look in front of them, facing it, and I'm to be tear and kill me. That poem is too pessimistic. And I think that instead of look deep into the wolf and tear, we tear the wolf, don't let the wolf tear us. Because that is a paper wolf, or an illusory wolf. First, we also, another fear is fear to die, to be old. Anyone who feel afraid to be old? To be old is great, yeah. So I am not, I'm of the nature to be grow old. I cannot escape old age. So I cannot escape old age. When you practice, you have to have that courage, facing your death, facing your old age. And if you let them bury into your consciousness and please continue to destroy us, and you think that your soul consciousness is immobile, no. It's continue to work and to transform and to work in the way that shape your behavior. Yeah. And so the practice offered by the Buddha is you confront that. On this fear brought in, bring it out. I'm of the age to get old. I cannot escape old age. I am of the nature to be sick. Sick. I cannot escape sickness, disease. I cannot. And that is terminal illness. Before dying, you must have a kind of illness. And then you are very afraid of that. And you are afraid that the moment where you are sick, you're lying down and that you cannot move, you are really powerless. And then the the physician give you a kind of cupular, and then it's, I'm of the age, of the nature to be sick. I cannot escape sicknesses. And when you look deep into that, and in the store consciousness, they will not work silently to destroy you. You look deep into your sickness, your old age, your death. And the fourth, what I treasure the most today, what I treasure the most today, like my position, my position, my diploma, my property, my children, my beloved one, all of them, I have to let go. I have to release them all. I cannot bring my bank account. I cannot bring my property. I cannot bring my children. I cannot bring anyone. And then you release them all. You have to. So then there are those who cannot die. Sometimes they cannot. And so you let go everything. And so one day when you need to go, you go easily. That moment, I have to release them all. My most precious beloved ones, that's the most difficult. But what you tell, what I carry with me in that new trip is the fruit of my action. What I have done in the past, all my life, what I have spoken during my life, what is I think throughout my life. So thinking, speaking, and acting are the fruit of all these things. I will carry only thanks with me. Every thinking have bear my signature. Even nobody know is bear my signature. And every speeches, every words I utter, even nobody hear, only the person who I attack hear, and other will not hear, but I have to carry with me. Any action, even I hide everyone, but that action I have to carry with me. I cannot escape to carry. So I cannot carry my property, my money, my bank account, my beloved one, but everything I have spoken, everything I have acting, I have act, everything I have to bring along. So the teaching is very clear, very obvious to help you to be more clear in your mind, and then you bring your that fear out, and you look deep, and you say that, well, oh no, I know that. So you will behave in the better way. And there's no moral in that. He only invite you to look deep, and you see that, and you see the responsibility of your thinking, speaking. And so in order to oppose to that, we have to have have more supplement to that. Breathing in, I know that I'm still alive. Breathing out, I smile to life. Tomorrow I may die. I cannot carry on these things. So now I enjoy. Now I really enjoy this alive body. I enjoy the life running around me. And so you practice the inviting the fear, and then you are aware of you are still alive. You still have all these things, and you know how to act, so that one day when you go, you carry that. You make a good action to make people happy. So you carry the happiness of a lot of people with you when you go. You make somebody behave in such a way that you make so many people unhappy, and you carry that with you. And then, and so you enjoy that sunshine, that fog, you enjoy that air, you enjoy that water. So Confucius, the wise Chinese man, said that if you don't know how to handle your life, how you can handle your death? If you can look deep into your death and you see, you have a clear vision of your death, and then you really live the worth, the best of your life. So you know how to handle your death, you know how to handle your life in the better way. And when you see deeply in the ultimate dimension and in the historical dimension is a dimension where we are living. There is death, there is life, there is death, there is coming, there is going. But when you look deeper, you see that there is no life, no death, no coming, no going. It means it's happened at every shatna. Shatna is the shortest moment of time. Every shatna, million of life emerge, manifest. But every shatna, million of life pass away. And Lavoisier, French scientist, said that nothing is born, nothing die. Nothing is great, nothing disappear. They disappear here, but they manifest there. They manifest there and they disappear here, so on. So nothing is lost. And so you pretend billion of cells of you die, but billion of cells of you are manifesting, and so the conservation of energy. So wise scientists look deep in like that, they can see that nothing is born, nothing is dead. So the nature of matters or the nature of energy are the same. You can create new energy, but you lose a number of energy, a certain amount of energy. But a number of amount of energy will manifest in other way. So it's the same in energy as well in the same in matters. So that is the vision of many scientists. And Lavoisier, French scientist, said that nothing is born, nothing died, nothing is lost, everything transforms. Everything transforms. Everything change. But because you are caught by the notion birth is from nothing, you are born. And death means from nothing, that from something you become nothing. So that is different. But Lavoisier said that everything transforms. Everything look like death or born, but in fact is transforming. So nothing is lost. So there's no birth, no death, but there is transformation. Lavoisier discovered the truth that everything is transforming, permanent transforming, but they never die and they will never be born. Die means some nothing. Allah was here, I don't know, he discovered that, but he didn't know, that I don't know if he really lived what he said, but at 52 years old, he passed away. He was executed by machine. He has a wonderful wife, and his wife loved him a lot. And his wife want to learn English in order to translate the work of her husband. and she become scientist. But after the revolution, French Revolution, Lavoisier as well as his stepfather, his father-in-law was executed on the machine because of the French Revolution. There is a lot of killing. Mm. So Thay is wondering if Lavoisier, he said that nothing is born, nothing death, and if Lavoisier had that depression, he is afraid of dying the day where they put him in a machine to cut his head. Is he afraid or not? Thay asked that question. That wisdom of Lavoisier continue until now. And so Lavoisier will not die. His wisdom is still in all of us. And then we discover, and Lavoisier will never die, like the cloud will never die. The cloud will transform into rain, and rain into that little flower or the wheat that you eat. And so everything is transformed, but not death. Nothing. So everything transformed, including your feeling, your perception, your mental formation, your consciousness, your body. And so the scientists have found that, but a spiritual teacher also found that. And so if there is no birth, no death, and the moment where somebody so-called die, you will not cry, because you know that your beloved one will be transformed into something. Of course, you try to keep him or her in this form, but when condition is not sufficient, his heart have to cease to beat. You have to accept that he is transforming, and so we have to be very attentive to discover his new transformation, her new transformation. So many scientists have declared like that, have seen like that on his laboratory. But in life, I don't know if these scientists can live that way. In principle, if you declare that nothing is birth, nothing is born, nothing die, and then you have to agree that the day when you pass away, so-called pass away, you have to accept, okay, I will transform into something very interesting. So if science agree that before that atmosphere that things is, there is something, other thing, but it transformed until now. So if we accept like that, we don't need to find the theory Big Bang. Big Bang is one theory who said that from nothing, suddenly there is a Big Bang, and then explode, and there is a sun, and there is satellite, and then it become a planet, and become the moon, etc. And so from the Big Bang, a big crash, big crunch. If we are a scientist, or you are a Buddhist, you have to tell the scientist. If you say that you accept that there's nothing is born, nothing die, you have to accept that. You have to overcome the notion of being and non-being, because it's just transformation. A theologian work together with scientists. We have to accept these things. If we define God as a ground of being, it means we're still caught by the notion of being. And so if God is a ground of being, so who will be the ground of non-being? So God must overcome our notion. Don't give to God a notion. You have to overcome that notion. Being ground of being, ground of non-being, that all notions are still a kind of box that we try to put in and then try to overcome on this box. And don't put God into side of mothers or non-mothers. And don't say that God existence, no existence, and then only two faces of one reality. Now we try to make a line on the time, begin the line of is the past, present, future. And you decide to make one point, is the present moment. So on the back it will be the past, and in the future will be so you feel that the present moment, the point where you are born, B, and the point D is you die. If you sit there and you say that, oh, breathing in, I am alive. Alive. It means I start to be alive since the day where so-called my birthday. And I'm still now alive until here. And I continue to live a few more years, a few more dozen of years. So even a few dozen years, you still worry. And I don't, I would buy what happened, etc. So that joy is not completed. And so, in the present moment, you say, breathing in, I know that I will die. I cannot escape dying. I'm from non-being, now I become being. And then when I arrive to that point D, and then I will become nothing. And that is, that worries. And because of your worries, and so you are not, your peace cannot be total. So you better invite them to come up. And you say that now, I know that what I carry, when I no longer in this body, I will carry with me the fruit of all my action. So you behave more correctly, more beautifully. And then when you arrive to point D, you know that, yeah, I'm transforming, I will not die, but I carry with me all my wonderful thing, because it's a new form, it's a little bit embarrassing to bring too much of things. So it's better to carry the simplest way. So birth and death, they are born in the same time. In the same time, you have, in the very moment, million of cells of you are dying, and million of cells of you are born. Many of thought are born when you enter in this room, and continue to grow and to transform. And so, when you look at that marker, you see on the left and the right, and you cannot say that the right exists first, or the left exists too. They exist in the same time. So you train ourselves to learn things in the non-dualistic way. Birth and death are born in the same time. Right and left born in the same time. Up and down born in the same time.
So
The being, the existence cannot exist by itself. It must exist in the same time than death. Birth must exist in the same time than death. Go being or enter being. Sadhu, Saha is co, and then Du is existence, coexistence. Sadhu. Everything have you seen? Everything is like that. Inside or outside of you is also coexist. When you say that father and son or father and daughter appear in the same time, because before she appear, you are not called father, you are called Mr. X or Mrs. B. But you and only can be called father or you call mother when you have the son or the daughter. So father and son, father and daughter coexist. The day where you give birth to her, she's called daughter, you call father. But before that, you are the father of others, not to her. Yeah. So Buddha and we too, Buddha and ordinary being are born in the same time. Buddha and ordinary being exist in the same time, coexist. Wherever there is Buddha, there is ordinary people. So, happiness and suffering are two sides of one reality. The happiness is based on the suffering, and the suffering is based on happiness. And if you run after happiness and you abandon suffering, it's not easy, it's funny. And liberation is the same. Liberation is is the opposite of attachment. So you have to liberate from the attachment. You cannot liberate from nothing. So affliction, attachment is the opposite of the liberation. So they coexist. When you say that you are free. Free, it means free what? Free of all this affliction, all of this attachment. In principle, when you are born, you are 1 year, 2 year old, 3 year old, until the day you pass away is 100 year old. And how many people can die at 100 year old? You can die now. In a few days, or in a few months, a few years. So between the birth and the death, lie between this sheet of paper. In this sheet of paper, you see one side, the recto and the verso, two sides of the sheet of paper. It looks like without the recto, there is no verso. Recto, and verso de inter. The recto rely on the verso to exist, and the verso relied on recto to exist. You cannot say that recto go away, let only verso stay. You cannot. And you say that upper part and low part. If you call up, you have to call low. Low and up born in the same time. Right and left born in the same time. That is inter-being. Inter-being. Birth and death are like that. Don't think that birth and death are two separate things. They are one. They cannot independently exist life, independently exist death, no. At every shatna of time, you exist, and you die, and you exist, and you die, exist, and die, in the same time. Like when you go from Boston to New York, and you see here is Boston, here is New York, and you have to go 3 hours, 5 hours from Boston to New York. But every step you make is also New York and Boston. If New York is the other side, New York is the other side. You are directing yourself to New York and you turn and here is Boston. So Boston and New York exist at every of your step. Because you turn here is will be New York, you turn here is Boston. So every step is Boston in New York. Birth and death are not separate by something. They exist in the same time, closer than the recto and verso of the sheet of paper. Because without the death, you cannot be born. There is no death, there is no birth. And scientists have found that, and they see that in our body, at every second, there is a lot of death, but a lot of birth. And in your feeling, it's the same. In your perception, it's the same. And so, in the quantum physics, they also, the transformation is very clear. The transformation is that the highest of the transformation. And you look at your body, you look deep into your body, you see that every second, every minute, there are cells which pass away, and there are cells which are born. Million of cells are born, million of cells die, and birth and death rely on each other. If all the cell do not die, and then all the cell will not be born. Without death, there is no birth. Without birth, there is no death. Every second, every minute, is closer than the recto and verso of the sheet of paper. Recto and verso. If you look through a microscope, you see that the sheet of paper is still thick, but birth and death are closer than that thickness of the sheet of paper. Million of cells are dying, but we are not set at all. And million of cells are born. You do not celebrate birthday of every cell. So when somebody dies, you make a funeral. But now you have million of cells die, you have no time to make funerals. And million of cells are born, and no time to celebrate birthday. Birth and death are happening now. and they rely on each other. Why you have to be afraid of? Why you have to be fearful? Because your vision is too superficial. Too superficial. You don't see the totality of birth and death. And so you use your notion into a kind of section. You cut the reality. Here is birth, here death. Here in the other side there is a person who dance, who talk, who joke, and the other side a person who lie, death, without moving anything. And you think that you are moving here. But in both they are, they and they are. The death is every moment in that side and the other side too. And when people say that you die, in fact, if you look deep, you are still manifesting in many other forms. Very interesting. Everything I carry with me when this body disintegrates, what I carry with me are the fruit of my action, the fruit of my speech, the fruit of my thinking. That's everything I can carry with. Thinking, speaking, action carry the mark of my signature. And when I go, my body disintegrates, I bring along with that. It's continue. I continue to manifest in many wonderful forms. Many wonderful forms that I have done. In the past, I have spoken. In the past, I have thinking. In the past, I manifest. And then it's carry on this deep aspiration that I thinking, speaking, sharing, acting. All these deep things will manifest in a new form. And you can discover me in countless of forms. Wonderful. And when you are a chemist, you know that you put some solution to another solution and you see that, and you have the impression that something lost because the color from the color yellow on color white suddenly appear the color blue. And then you say that, oh, white and yellow disappear, die. But in fact, they are a new manifestation, blue. So wonderful. So it's the same. It's nothing is lost. Nothing is born, nothing die. Nothing new. It's just a transformation. In the hut where I lived here, there is a kind of kaleidoscope. Kaleidoscope is you is very beautiful. You look inside, you see a kind of beautiful designer of all the crystal of different color, and they organize in a way so beautiful. But you just change a little bit of the position. It's a new one, but also very beautiful. And you just change a little bit of your hand, the position of your hand. It have new manifestation of the crystal inside. They organize in a very wonderful way. And so everything transforms. Everything is wonderful. But it's the same crystal inside. It's nothing new. And then you'd have no regret when you lost this beautiful image of this crystal. You have new image, and you do not mourn when that beautiful landscape disappears, because it's a new manifestation, new presentation of the crystal in a very beautiful. So it's the same for the cloud. The cloud is beautiful, but the rain or the snow is so wonderful. Everything is wonderful. Nothing is left. Your beautiful cloud, and then the disappearance of your beautiful cloud become wonderful snow. dancing on the air, and then you cry for your cloud, but you didn't recognize the beauty of the snow dancing. And so you have to use that wisdom right away in this moment. And you can see that when you see that no birth, no death, and then you can clear up your fear. No fear. And you can clear up all your anxiety about when this body ceases to be, where shall I go? And then this flower, this bird, they have no anxiety. We have a lot of beautiful culture, but we have to pay for our culture with that fear of birth and death. And thanks to that deep look, then help you to overcome that fear of birth and death, having, not having. And at that moment, that your joy is really a real joy, a real liberation. So the highest achievement of a practitioner is to arrive to Nirvana. Nirvana is not a place where you climb on that. No, Nirvana is extension on your notion about birth and death coming and going. So when you arrive to Nirvana, you enjoy everything. Snow is beautiful. River is beautiful. Cloud is beautiful. You are beautiful, but your body will not be there. You are beautiful in your daughter, your son, many of your friends, and you continue to be manifest in everywhere. So you don't have to be worried. You enjoy. And so you, in a short observation, you say that, oh, there's a cloud is there, now it disappear, the cloud there disappear, and now you say that, oh, cloud disappear for beautiful rain, for beautiful snow. And so you accept, you enjoy everything. You enjoy the cloud, you enjoy the rain, you enjoy the snow. So the cloud do not search for anything. In the cloud know that I'm now here, but in the day I become so-called death, but I will not die. So not only the cloud is like that, everyone is like that, everything is like that, you too. Let's say that the cloud, 50% of the cloud will become rain, but still 50% are still cloud. And so the cloud see the rain and say that half of the cloud will become rain. Oh, wonderful. So half of you will become your child, your son, your daughter, your grandchildren. You are a cloud here is happy, but the rain is also happy and become that little flower reborn. And so you can say that, hello, hello rain, you are me. Hello little flower, you are me. I rejoice you later. So you have no fear. And so you are not afraid. Half of you are already transformed into other things. So your nature is no birth, no death, no coming, no going. So the cloud have no fear, no worries, no anxiety. And you too, you don't have to worry. So Nirvana is not a place where you search for, but that when you have that notion, you extinct. Nirvana is extinct on the notion, on the box that you try to put yourself here. It's death, here is life, here is like that. You remove on this box of notion, of perception. So when the wave realize that the wave at the same time, the wave and the water in the wave. And so the wave, see that the wave is born, the wave grow up, and the wave die. And then the wave is not afraid of dying, because when on the wave die, all the contents of the wave would appear in other wave, and not in one wave, but in many other wave around. And so you will not pass away in order to be reborn in one person. You will be reborn in many other person, the closer to you, the farther to you, your friend, so on. So you don't be caught by all this, the notion. You don't need to go to Nirvana. You are already in the Nirvana. The Nirvana, the Buddha said the Nirvana is in life, in affliction. Because you have affliction, because you put things in box, and you are afraid of that, you judge that, you love that, you dislove that. But when you remove on your box, you see that everything enter R, everything enter is, and then there is nothing to be fearful. And then when you understand that, you can understand this yata easily. So the yata 42. Speak about Nirvana. 42. On this seat in our store consciousness, die. Because on this seat die, the seat of fear, of affliction, of ignorance disappear. And then your affliction disappear. When on this seat of affliction disappear, your affliction disappear. Because on this affliction ended, it means transform. It will transform that the no tent. Bo is no, nhiễm is tent. Con, yeah. So it means no affliction, no anxiety. So, yeah. No tent, no dirt. It means immaculation. So nên ở đây có cái vô nhiễm, because on this afflictions are gone, and here there is no tent, no dirt, and you have that immaculation. So that it manifests like two different things. So in the case there is the non-defilement, from this appear two different things, the cessation of suffering and the cessation of mental proliferation. Nirvana is a Buddhist term, but it took from the popular term in India. In the countryside, people cook their rice with the straw. Sometimes they cook with straw, sometimes with wood, sometimes with the outside the skin of rice. But in my root temple, I cook with the needle of pine tree. Because in my temple there's a lot of pine tree, and the leaf of pine tree make kind of very thick kind of leaf, and very dry and very easy to burn. And so I used to cook rice with the needle of pine tree. So the countryside people, when they wake up, they cook their breakfast for member of the family to eat before they go for work. usually people have a very complete meal before they go outside. And so people come and touch the, to see whether there is still heat inside. If something, there is a little fire in the oven, but I don't know the word in French countryside, there is no oven, but a kind of foyer, a kind of place where, and there is no match, but they try to cover the ashes underneath, but sometimes the ash is so thin, so they make a kind of that straw, but they make a long bunch of straw, and then it's very tight, and then they put some water and some light and some fire on that, and they cover that fire with some ashes. And then when there is no, when you wake up and you want to cook and there is no match, you know, nothing, of course there is no match at that time. And then I will write, I wrote a kind of poem concerning go and search for some fire. I'm sure that in the house of anyone in the village must have someone who still have fire. So, if in your place where you cook things, there's no fire at all, and then when your fire is no longer, and so when you put your hand in and there's no fire at all, so you feel very cool. So nirvana in the Buddhist term means there is really cool. There's no fire at all in your fireplace. There is no fire at all in your fireplace. It's very cool. So nirvana is mean cool, extinction of all the fire. Nirvana is a place where everything is so cool. There's no fire at all, so no affliction is there, all the craving or all the worries are gone, and you are totally in cool state. So nirvana means coolness, freshness. It exists when all the fire of afflictions are gone. When you are still burned by that fear, that jealousy, that so all these afflictions are gone, and then you feel very cool. A person who have no affliction, he look very cool, very light. When you remove on the notion about birth, death, coming, going, better, not good, and so on. So you are cool, you are fresh, you extinct on the notion, you are one with everything. And the door of no birth, no death is already open to you. You enter with joy. You enter with no fear. And wherever you have no fear, it looks like you are eternal. But eternal means eternal in the transformation, eternal in no fear. So the notion of birth for nothing you become something, and the notion of death when something you become nothing, all this notion, this illusory notion are gone, and you enter into the door of non-fear, no birth, no death, joyfully, relaxingly, peacefully, happily. So it depends on your look. When you look at the cloud, and then if your notion is still illusory and shortcoming, you say, oh, the cloud is exists now, tomorrow it may die. I am so sorry for the cloud. This is the way. Another way is, oh, it's a beautiful cloud. But in few moments it's become rain. Fine. It's beautiful rain. Oh, it may become snow. It may become river. Everything you enjoy. So in Nirvana, they distinguish between two kinds. Nirvana, vô dư. And Nirvana, hữu dư. Nirvana, hữu dư. It means in the Nirvana, there is no klesha. Klesha is a Sanskrit term for affliction, for suffering. And klesha is affliction, moksha is liberation. Liberation from all the affliction. Liberation from all the affliction. Klesha moksha. And so when all the affliction are gone, there is that coolness. And so the Nirvana who you and wo you, and Nirvana people think who you is, who is exist, who is exist, you is. Upali. Who you is Upali. It means in the very moment when you have this body with five group of elements, you still enter into Nirvana. You don't need to disappear, make this body disappear in order to enter Nirvana. You can enter Nirvana with this very body in this very moment. In this very moment, you can have that insight of no birth, no death, no coming, no going. So when Shakyamuni under the Bodhi tree, he see that and he taste. He tests right away the Nirvana of no birth, no death, no coming, no going. Even he still keep his body at that, under the Bodhi tree. At the 35 year old, he do not need to go into Nirvana. No, he's there. In this very moment, he enter into Nirvana. He enter into the extinction of the notion about his birth, his death, his coming, his going. He see right away that He see right away that he's there. No birth, no death, no coming, no going, just transformation. He enjoy. So he call Nirvana. So later on, his disciples act in explaining. And so in the time of the Buddha, Nirvana is Nirvana, extinction of all these notions. And you live happily in the present moment, no fear. But so some disciple of him later on, maybe hundreds of years later, they explained that wo ju yi nirvana is for nirvana, but They think of when this body is no longer there, and you really enter a kind of nirvana where you don't have your body. So his disciple explained that, well, when your body is not there, you also enter into Vojui Nirvana. It means nirvana without this body. And then they call Vastu Moksha or something, nirvana. Vastu means things. You are liberated from all these five skandhas. Skandhas mean the form, feeling, perception, mental formation, consciousness, five skandhas. Usually for Buddhists they make it very short, five skandhas. S-K-A-N-D-A. And five skandhas, you must understand that is form, feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness. So when you are no longer have these five skandhas, you enter into nirvana vojui. And so in the vojui nirvana, you don't have the five skandhas. And for me, for Thai, he feel that is, if we mention about vojui, it can mislead, because it means vojui, it means when you are in enter in the without the body, and then there is no flu, no disease, no diarrhea, no etc. So they said that they try to distinguish in order to see that, yeah, he is nirvana with the body and nirvana without body. So without body, you don't have all these diseases and so on. So bhava, it means existence, and abhava is no existence. No. Yes. So we already said that nirvana is the ending of all the notion of yes or no. And now you distinguish nirvana yes and nirvana no. Nirvana with body, nirvana no body. I think that we don't need to explain like that. And so when we say that nirvana, I would prefer to use nirvana and distinguish between you who with body or without body. When you are in nirvana, you didn't distinguish. In Plum Village, we just say nirvana. We don't divide the nirvana with body and without body. When you already see that, and you don't see that anything, that is, even you have the flu, it's okay, it's happy, because condition is like that, and you do not cover yourself properly, and so you have flu, but it's okay, you are still in nirvana. So when you are in touch with that profoundness, the depth in yourself, you are not touched, stuck by this flu or this disease. When you have the body, you need to, sometimes you have flu, you have that disease, sure. The birth, old age, sickness is normal. And so in the birth, old age, sickness, that is normal. It's just in transformation. You see that and you have no fear. When I'm sick, well, because I'm the body and the body is not well covered, so I'm sick. And so because of I do not behave like that, I'm sick. So I correct my way of behavior in order not to be sick. And so no birth, no death, no coming, no going, is that you need to realize by yourself. Nobody can give you. Even the Buddha is there, he cannot give you. He only give you the way, and you have to practice to realize it by yourself. Nobody can help you except to offer you the way, that and that way is explaining here. And then you have to practice and to realize by yourself. Everything you hear now is just notion that I use the teaching of the Buddha to share to you, but you have to realize by yourself. You have to realize Nirvana by yourself. What I share today is only notion. One day, some teacher met with other people, and one disciple of the Buddha said, "The Buddha, your teacher said that when you pass away, is you still exist or not? You still exist or you don't exist? Or you are in the same time existent and no existent, and or you are still nothing, or you exist and really exist?" And some disciple of the Buddha have been request like that, interrogate like that by others, school of thinking at that time. And that the student of the Buddha said that, well, according to the teaching of the Buddha, sometimes you exist, sometimes you don't. The question, the interrogation of the other school of thoughts at the time, can you tell me if you pass away, you exist or not? If and you exist or you don't exist, or you exist in the same time, you don't exist. So in Buddhism, the Buddha said that is healing. It means deceiving dialogue is tricky. Dialogue is futile. It means no value. Futile, non-necessary conversation, non-necessary dialogue, because you realize by yourself. And when you realize, you don't need to explain, you don't need to quarrel, you don't need to, you extinct all the boxes. You remove all these boxes of birth, death, coming, going, and you don't discuss. That is non-necessary discussion. So you are a practitioner, monastic or non-monastic. Don't lose yourself in all this conversation who share or in this thinking that I exist or I will not exist when this body disintegrate, I exist or not exist. So it's speculation, non-necessary speculation. So in Buddhism, there is no debate, no speculation on things that on, no speculation in all these notion. You only practice in order to realize by yourself. That is the guideline the Buddha show. You believe or not believe. If you believe, you realize, and you get that liberation. But you don't discuss. You don't use debate. There is some scientists still believe differently. They exist, that some scientists say that this world exists outside of our mind. But in Buddhism, the Buddha teach very clear. Your mind and the environment where you are one. They manifest like the recto and verso of your paper. Your mind and this world exist in the same time. No recto, no verso. Why in science somebody, there is a reality, objective, outside of your mind, but you cannot demonstrate that reality existing outside of your mind. But in Buddhism, the Buddha said that your mind exists in the same time at the universe around you. And science nowadays is trying to fight for that, to research for that, to look deep for that. And some of them have discovered the so-called objective environment is also is your mind. And we are all a collective insight of our mind. So the last gata, chúng sanh là tên gọi của những dòng liên tục. Chúng sanh is beings, is the name of the stream of life. Being is not a separate self. Everyone have a name. Abraham Lincoln, George Bush, or Jean, or Margaret, or Sarkozy. Everyone have a name. However, if you look deep, that name and that five skandhas, and we are only the stream. Our body is a stream of matter, cell, and so on. And our feeling is a stream of feeling. And in the stream of feeling, we think like our father, mother, we think like our friend, our society, we think so a stream of thought, a stream of feeling, a stream of, we don't have a separate self. The stream of our body is a continuation of the body of our father, mother, great grandpa, and previous generation. So we are only the streams, the stream, many stream. The stream of body, the stream of feeling, the stream of perception, the stream of mental formation and consciousness. So you don't have a separate self. Yourself 5 years ago and yourself now, or yourself 1 week ago is now, is different from yourself now. And then it's growing and it's growing and it go in that direction in the good. Or the bad direction is depends on the training. Brahma is in the stream. Stream. When we see at our body, we see that is your mom. Many cells, many genes of your mom, of your dad, of your grandpa, of your grandma, of many generations of your ancestors, even you don't know them, but 7 generations earlier is some of their gene. Genes are in you, and number of talents of them in you, and number of weaknesses of some ancestor of the 8th generation before you are in you. So you look, you don't have a separate self. And so, the feeling, a practitioner have to observe the stream of your feeling. You have to observe the stream of your body, how it functions, your heart, your liver, your intestine, your mind, how it functions, your feeling, the pleasant feeling, the unpleasant feeling, the neutral feeling, and then your perception, you perceive things like that. It's maybe in a few days later you perceive your perception about other person is more enlarged, and you hate her less, or you love him more, and so on. So it means it's transforming. So, đối tượng tri giác, the object of your perception, the object of the perception, living beings is the name of a continuous stream, and all phenomena as the object of perception are only signs. So, in the perception, there is two parts. One part is subject part and the object, subject part and object part, like the recto and the verso of the sheet of paper. Nothing is earlier. They exist in the same time. They are also a drop of water in the stream. So they are changing. They are changing every second, every shatna. And what you have seen are object of your perception. The world where we think that world, that environment exists independently from you is not correct. It's only the object of your perception. So object of your perception and the subject of your perception, so they have nimitta and they have so nimitta is the form. And the other side about I miss the word in Sanskrit. So there is a part of object and subject. And darshana is perception. Perception is the subject. Then the object of your perception, and then nang yung is perceiver, and the sở yung is perceive things, perceive phenomena, and so they are both manifest in the same time. On the phenomena is manifest in the same time of your mind, like you draw the triangle ABC. You make one line, divide both, suddenly you have two triangles. So two triangles, they exist in the same time. You cannot say that they exist earlier or later, because that one exists in the same time, the other thing. They rely on each other to manifest. So, scientists can see now, there is a mind, And is the world outside very objective? Yet they always think that the subject go and observe and have it. But in fact, it's very superficial way to think. And inside, they are still caught by that. You are the scientist, you observe. But it depends very much on the outside and the inside manifest in the same time. Beings are a stream of non-self continue to manifest, to transform. And the world appear in the same time with the growing of your living being. And the object of perception are only sign. There is no real being who are drowning in the ocean of suffering. There is no separate self. What we call I myself subject and the subject are only they are not running in the world of birth and death. Nothing is have been running in the world of birth and death. There's no one who decide that or decide that. Don't think that there is that person to drown or to go. In fact, a condition come like that, so that so-called person will behave like that when conditions are like other way, and that person will behave other way. So, and you look deep into the birth and death, and then you extend all the notion, you enter into the nirvana, and nirvana you have done it. You don't need anything. You extend on your notion and you enjoy the transformation. Next time we will learn 8 yata about the interbeing. We already have the translation text, my translation. Also I have the English translation of another professor. Dinaga, 8 yathas of Dinaga, about interbeing.